Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
You are the power, and you do not need anybody's permission.
He's the only guy that ever crawled out of a grave where people didn't go, oh!
Don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. OuterLimitsRadio.com. I'm your host, Ryan. Tonight is a sad event because this is the last interview that we ever did with internationally renowned cardiologist, Dr. Steven Sinatra. Dr. Sinatra died last month. It was absolutely shocking and heartbreaking, and I'll tell you a little bit about what happened. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It just happened out of the blue. And within 3 weeks, he died. So it just happened really fast. It was just really shocking because he was 75 years old. And the last time I talked with him, he was, you know, pretty high energy. He was always a high energy guy. So this came out of the blue. It was very shocking. And I know we've aired this particular show before, but I wanted to put a different introduction on it just to tell you how important he was. First off, he was considered to be one of the greatest cardiologists in the world. There are several cardiologists who I've had the pleasure of working with, knowing that all say Dr. Sinatra was one of their best teachers. So he had a profound impact. And when he died, there were thousands of people that wrote letters on his page and talked about how he changed their lives. He definitely changed my life for the better. And I think he hopefully had a positive impact on you as well. We first came in contact with Dr. Sinatra when we did the Death Show, which was the 18-hour-long, 14-part series. It had 65 interviews, and Dr. Sinatra played a prominent role on there because he was talking about, you know, how to heal the body. And one of his biggest lessons he talked about was called earthing, and that is when you walk on the earth barefoot. He said that it has a numerous numbers of effect on your body. It's very positive. It helps. I mean, there's a whole book on it. I could post some information, but he always talked about that. He was also one of the first cardiologists to ever recommend a mineral called CoQ10, and he pushed that very hard, and it had a lot of positive impacts on people, you know, strengthening their hearts. Dr. Sinatra even had this company called Ageless Paws, where he put CoQ10 in there for pets, and people noticed that their pets would live an extra 4 or 5 years. But aside from being so renowned and so cutting edge, a lot of his philosophies and a lot of his methodologies in terms of treating people, he was just an exceptionally wonderful person. He was one of the most beautiful souls I ever came across. And we got along really well. And I have to say that I truly miss him. I really, really miss him. I wish we had more time with him. I wish we could do another interview with him. But, you know, there's just so much to learn. He left this beautiful legacy. You know, it's kind of unusual in this world that you see somebody who's that kind and gives so much of themselves. And I believe his legacy is going to be that he helped a lot of people. He really, really It was such an honor to know him. And let us begin the final interview with Dr. Stephen Sinatra. It is a great pleasure to welcome back to our show Dr. Stephen Sinatra. He is grounded in more than 40 years of clinical practice, world-renowned cardiologist, and there's so much you can offer. You can learn more about Dr. Sinatra by going to three different websites. One of them is drsinatra.com. Another one is Vervana.com, where you can get incredible food. And the other one is agelesspaws.com, where you can actually get these amazing supplements for your pets to prolong their life. Dr. Sinatra, welcome back to our show.
Hey, Ryan. It's great to be here with you again.
Thank you. Well, we're in an era right now where I think a lot of people have taken on a lot more stress than what they have, at least in the past year. First question I have is, what are some of the short and long-term effects that stress has on the heart, and what are some of the ways that we can alleviate it naturally?
Sure. I mean, that's a broad question. I mean, I'll tell you this, Ryan. One of the reasons why I became a psychotherapist when I was in training in cardiology is that I realized that emotional stress was a major risk factor for the heart. I mean, I was a cardiovascular fellow here in Connecticut during 1975, and the Vietnam War had just weaned down. And Ryan, I'll never forget it. I was working in a cardiac cath lab, and I was seeing young men in their 30s. Some of them were in the defense industry. Some were engineers. Even some were truck drivers. But I'll never forget it. It was absolutely amazing. These men are only a few years older than me, and they were having heart disease. And I realized that it was emotional stress, and at the same time, I was in a psychotherapy training program. So I actually extended my training in bioenergetic psychotherapy because I realized that cardiology pathology was related to the neck up, you know. So emotional stress is a big factor. So we have to ask ourselves, well, why is that? Well, emotional stress changes hormones. I mean, everybody's heard about an adrenaline rush, or one of the worst hormones is cortisol. Cortisol is secreted when we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, so to speak. So even with the coronavirus nowadays, people are worried. They have a lot of vigilance, and this drives up cortisol. And when cortisol gets driven up, electrolyte changes can occur within the body. We can have potassium shifts, blood pressure shifts. And then when we have an acute fearful episode or an acute burst of anger, we can get adrenaline surges or epinephrine surges. And then when you have these hormonal interactions, it can, you know, have an adverse effect on the heart. So, you know, emotional stress is a factor, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, there's so many things people can do to alleviate, you know, toxic emotions. And the best thing to do is, you know, if you're confronted with anger or panic or fear or overwhelming sadness, I've always recommended that my patients, you know, have the emotion out. For example, anger is okay. You know, if you dissipate anger, you stop driving your car with your brakes on, so to speak. Rage is not okay. Remember, rage is uncontrollable anger. That's not okay. And I remember seeing patients in fits of rage have dissections of the aorta, heart attacks. I mean, you name it. Strokes. I've seen it all that way.
Can anger actually be positive in some ways? I mean, can it actually be one way kind of like shake you out a little bit? Because I know some people, they don't have any kind of anger at all, or they just kind of mope it around a little bit, or they don't have passion. Can bursts of anger to some degree ever be healthy for you, or is it all negative?
No. In other words, it's good to have, you know, we don't want to bury our uncomfortableness, so to speak, because if these emotions get buried, they swell up inside of us over and over again, and all of a sudden they burst open. That's why rage, during fits of rage, people can really kill people or hurt people. But you know, little bursts of controlled anger, it's absolutely fine. Even in fact, in my psychotherapy training, when we saw patients, you know, with a lot of anger, we would facilitate the anger in sessions. You know, we would use a tennis racket, You know, they would use a tennis racket and, you know, swing it against pillows, for example, or they would, you know, yell or scream or punch pillows. I know that sounds a little bit, you know, crazy, but when you have people with so much anger and they need to get it out, the expression of it with a well-trained psychotherapist is healing. Because remember, it's when the anger is withheld, when it's held in the body and it can't escape, that's when the body suffers. But when the body can rid the anger, so to speak, you know, through exercises, through interactions with a therapist, through, you know, using the voice. And I'll tell you, one of the best things that I've seen for people with anger is sadness. In other words, anger is a cover-up for sadness many times, but if you get people to cry, crying is the best thing you can do to alleviate the heartbreak that we've all had as children. And sadness, really, with crying and sobbing, is one of the most helpful things you can do for the health of the heart.
Dr. Sinatra, are there any natural-type supplements that a person can take which will have a similar effect on your heart and your body as if the person was crying? Are there anything natural that a person could take that would also have a soothing effect to counterbalance, let's say, some of the anger or some of the stress that may already be there?
You know, that's an excellent question. I have to say that most supplements, you know, do not really have a calming effect. But I will tell you this. I've treated a lot of migraine headache in my cardiac patients. And when I stumbled upon the combination of coenzyme Q10 and especially magnesium, is one of these cofactors or minerals that's involved in hundreds of chemical reactions in the body. And we know that magnesium has a calming effect on blood vessels. That's why it's good to use in high blood pressure. But I'll tell you, migraine headache, I'm amazed. The combination of Q10 and magnesium has a profound healing capabilities of not only alleviating migraine, but preventing migraine. So in answer to your question, that's one that I would strongly consider. Now, St. John's wort's another one where, you know, I use it in some mild forms of depression. Inositol sometimes can help people with panic and sleep disorders. Melatonin is another one that I really like. I mean, this not only helps people sleep at night, but melatonin as an antioxidant has some very favorable qualities on the body. And remember this, Ryan, when it comes to sunlight, melatonin and coenzyme Q10 are the two most powerful antioxidants that are sacrificed very quickly when the body is exposed to intense sunlight, because they're used up, because when 15 minutes to maybe 20 minutes of sunlight is excellent for the body. We get vitamin D from sunlight. It's very important. You know, when the sun strikes our skin, we have vitamin D and sunlight, and the vitamin D inside the skin and the cholesterol inside the skin, you know, that whole combination, helps to form vitamin D. And it's the cholesterol with a combination of the sunlight and some of the intrinsic vitamin D. It keeps it going and we form it. But I have to say that 30 minutes of sunlight is great, but then you don't want to go and get burned, because if you do get burned, that's when you could have a downside, you know, with burning of the skin, because you don't want that.
And does the heart respond more favorably to certain sounds or vibrations than others if you actually listen to something? Would that have a calming, soothing effect in your heart? And is there, looking at the heart, let's say, for example, at a deeper level, as a celestial, as intelligence, as celestial intelligence, shall we say, are there any types of sounds or talks or frequencies that you can expose your heart to which would have profound positive impacts?
That's a great question. And the way to answer that is when a mother is pregnant and they're carrying the young child in the womb, the child tends to resonate with the mother's heartbeat. And what we discovered, not myself, but other scientists have discovered, is that there are certain cadences in music like Raval, for example, or Gustav's The Planets, or even like the Brandon Bird Concerto, where you can get music scores that can simulate the mother's heartbeat. And I'm not a musician, but basically scores between maybe 70 to 110, for example, where you have these music beats coming in where later on in life, an adult may resonate with this music, but yet it's an earlier experience of being carried inside the womb. This is fascinating stuff. You know what I mean?
Really interesting.
Where,
wow.
Where this is a prenatal situation, but there's been some great science on this. And I think people can really calm themselves down with music. It's done all the time. When people listen to the Brandon Bird Concerto, for example, it can have a calming effect on the body. And I believe it all comes from the prenatal state.
Thank you. And the next question I'd like to focus on is oxygen. Because in our world right now, a lot of people are wearing masks. I know some people wear them to a store, and then that's it. And some people wear them all the time. I see people looking inside their houses, and they're wearing the masks all day. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, do you think do masks have any type of impact on the level or quality of oxygen a person can have? Do you think the mask could be good for short term? Are they okay for long term? I mean, are there negative side effects? And also, at the same time, I guess the second part question is, what types of oxygen can a person bring into themselves that will optimize the health of their heart?
Yeah, let me answer the first question first. I mean, the mask controversy goes on. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I've been on both sides of the fence on this, and I've read a lot about it, and I've spoken to doctors about it. And the mask, if you're carrying the virus, Ryan, the mask definitely will cut down on that virus being spread if you're a carrier. Now, the problem is there's a lot of young adults and children. There's a lot of controversy on this, but children, you know, from 10 to 20, for example, they can be carriers of the virus. And this is kind of intriguing because if children are a carrier, will the mask protect others? And I believe it will, because if the child is a carrier with very low-grade fever that goes unnoticed or an unnoticed cough, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start coughing, and they do have a mask, could it be protective? And my answer is, I believe so. The other side of the coin is people are wearing masks all the time. I mean, in my neighborhood, I see people riding bikes with masks and walking outside with masks. I think they're overdoing it, because whenever you have a mask on, could you be getting less, you know, less oxygen? And could you be breathing more carbon dioxide? Especially if you're doing a lot of shallow breathing, in other words, you know, in other words, you're just moving very little air, especially if you're just like sitting outside with a mask, for example, and you're not moving. I think a mask could have a downside in that situation. I mean, the best place to wear a mask would be intermittently. In other words, if you're going shopping at a supermarket and you want to put a mask on for a half hour, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that scenario. If you have people coming into your, let's say your home, and you know, even if they're relatives of yours, and you do the 6 feet apart, if the person of that home says, "I'd like you to wear a mask," I would go along with it. I definitely would. I mean, I had somebody invite us over to their home, and they asked me to put a mask on. And being a doctor, I didn't push back, because I'll tell you, the situation with the mask, yes, you can overdo it, but remember this: if a mask makes a person more comfortable and it alleviates their own emotional stress, you know, being a psychotherapist, I like that. You know what I mean? Because everybody's under stress with this virus. And, you know, a lot of the virus is, I think there's a lot of exaggerated things going on and stuff like that. But I have to say that the virus is real. I mean, it's a very, very tenacious virus. They say it's 50 times more powerful or more contagious than other viruses. But I think we'll get through this. I mean, I'm very optimistic about it. And I just feel that you know, as a society, we're learning about this. I'll tell you one thing, Ryan. The doctors that I speak to on the front lines, and you know, I'm in conversation with doctors all the time. I mean, they're getting more skilled at handling this virus. It was a nightmare in the beginning, but right now, I think when this recirculates, you know, in November, December, January, I think we're going to be much better prepared.
I hope we are. I hope we are. I hope people start coming out of these lockdowns. I wonder what a negative effect that's probably had on people's heart, because they've been stressed out and not hugging people too. I love giving people hugs, and I completely said, you know, if you want to give me a hug, I don't care. I'll take the chance. I think it's good. It makes my heart feel good for that.
Makes your heart feel good.
I think it's
right?
Good. I think it's good to hug people. Yeah. That's why I wonder if that's having some negative effects. But some people, of course, there's a couple of my friends, and a lot of them are concerned about clogged arteries. And I don't know, looking at the news, I feel like there's a lot of information that kind of goes back and forth. Like, what are some of the foods that will clog your arteries? Are there any things that you can? Are there any ways for you to naturally unclog your arteries? Are there any supplements that you'd recommend? Are there any activities?
Oh,
you'd recommend?
Yeah. I mean, there's some natural foods that can unclog arteries. I mean, the Rotterdam study, for example, was done in Holland about 20 years ago, and I read the study and I was amazed. It was done by a few Dutch researchers, and lo and behold, Ryan, they ended up at Yale University giving a lecture, and I was there 15 years ago where I heard the lecture, and I was so enthralled with these two Dutch scientists. One was a PhD, the other was an MD, that I invited them out to dinner, and that's when I learned about vitamin K2. And vitamin K2, it's found in very hard cheeses, for example. In other words, not soft cheeses, but these very, very hard cheeses like a Gouda cheese or like a really hard Parmesan will have it, or not so much of an Asiago, that's a softer cheese, but the American cheese wouldn't have any vitamin K2, for example. But like some of these hard cheeses, they have the vitamin K2, and by the way, you can take vitamin K2 as a supplement. I've been taking it ever since I met these two Dutch researchers. I mean, it was like, to me, it was one of the greatest ahas of being a heart specialist. But what vitamin K2 does, Ryan, it takes calcium out of blood vessels where it doesn't belong, you know, inside plaques or, you know, a calcified plaque, and it puts it back in bones where it does belong. So vitamin K2 is numero uno in taking in the diet, but you can also take it as a supplement. You know, another good substance to take is pomegranate. I mean, pomegranate is one of these, you know, antioxidants that has the same effect as vitamin K2. Another is sort of like green tea. You know, if you drink a lot of green tea, you know, that can also be very powerful in helping to, reverse plaque development. And so, you know, there's things you can take. And I just feel very strongly that there's many things in the nutraceutical world that support the heart. Because, again, I've been using nutraceuticals in my – oh, my God. I've been using them ever since I became a heart specialist in recovery when I talked to Jacob Rintz, this Dutch researcher, when he was 92 years old. when in 1978, he told me he prevented undergoing coronary artery bypass surgery when it was in its infancy, and he blew me away, and he did it with natural substances. So that's when it was back in 1978, Ryan, when I was a board certified cardiologist, that I started to use, you know, supplements in my practice.
Well, Dr. Sinatra, I want to point out to everyone that you got me into CoQ10 and magnesium, and I take those all the time, and I feel a lot better. And I'm wondering, are there any supplements that are touted as particularly really good that may have a negative effect? Because I'll just say one experience I had. I started taking this stuff called the cayenne pepper, and I took the supplement, and I took one of them, and I was overheated, and I thought I was going to die. Well, I didn't think I was going to die, but I was just worried that was going to push me somewhere. I mean, is there anything that supplements that a person could take that might trigger an anxiety attack or might put a person in a negative position as opposed to a positive?
Yeah, another great question. You know, cayenne pepper, you know, can make you hot. I mean, it's a nice antioxidant, and but you really got to take small doses of it. You can't take any large doses of that.
But I did.
But I'll tell you, but there's evidence to show that in Texans, who do a lot of chili pepper and capsaicin, for example, you know, they may get more gastrointestinal disturbances, but it's good for the heart. You know what I mean? It is good. There are some of these substances you have to be careful. Capsaicin is one. There's another one that I was going to mention. I just had a senior moment. It escaped me, but it'll come back. But when it comes to taking supplements, sometimes less is more. And the one supplement, it just came back to me, the one supplement that almost drove my wife into the emergency room, who's a registered nurse, by the way, was niacin. She took a lot of niacin and had such horrific hot flashes that she literally was on fire. So, you know, some of these supplements you have to take very, very gingerly. And niacin is one. You know, niacin is really good for, you know, cholesterol lowering. And I did an interview with Dr. Abraham Hoffer years ago when he was alive. He used to treat schizophrenia with large dose niacin, you know, and depression and psychological disorders. But niacin, you know, has a quick acting sensation in the body, and it can be very, very uncomfortable. So if people ever consider niacin, you must start at very low levels, and because you will get the hot flush.
Okay. I appreciate you saying that, because I've heard some things about that as well. And please correct me if I'm wrong when I say this, but is the heart considered does the heart have a bioelectrical field that's sensitive?
It does. Okay. Yeah. You know, Ryan, I've been interviewed for decades, but your questions are very provocative. I don't know where you've got these questions from, but these are
I don't know where they come from. It must be the voices in my head that are nice, but where I'm going with this question is that I wonder...
Yeah, the heart does have a bioelectrical field. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, have you ever sat in a movie theater and you sat next to a person and the person is seething with anger, and then all of a sudden you're feeling disturbed in your own body? That can be, you know, a transfer of negative energy from one person to another. And the other thing is like in identical twins, you know, identical twins have felt the emotion of another twin, because they can almost feel it through distances. And there's many stories like this, you know. I remember, a story where, I had these twins in my practice, where, you know, one twin was shot during the war, and the other twin, 3,000 miles away, actually felt the pain. So the heart can be connected, you know, bioelectrically, and it could travel, you know, long distances. I mean, I'm amazed at the bioelectrical nature of the heart. Remember this, Ryan, the heart's weight, a third of the weight of the heart are mitochondria. And these mitochondria are like little energy producing factories that produce energy. We call it ATP, but you know, the Chinese can call it prana, or the Indians can call it chi, and you know, the Hebrews may call it breath of God. But this is this ATP energy in the heart, and the heart is the most electrical organ in the body. It's amazing, and you know, that's why earthing and grounding is so good for calming the heart.
We've
demonstrated that with heart rate variability, for example. You know,
yeah, you've definitely taught me all about that, and that's wonderful. And just give a quick long story short to everyone: as often as you can, walk out on the earth with your bare feet, and it's wonderful. It's incredible.
No, it is. I mean, that can calm down anxiety, panic. I mean, just putting your bare feet on Mother Earth. Like, you know, we have this lightning storm going out here now in Connecticut, Ryan. And I got to tell you, I mean, as soon as it's over, I'm going to put my bare feet on the ground, because when lightning strikes, you know, the Earth, it gets endowed with gazillions and gazillions of electrons, and you absorb them through your feet, and it has a very calming effect on the body.
Awesome. When it comes to our heart's bioelectrical field, I wonder if when people wear these earbuds, when they have their phones close to them, when they put some earrings or other metal in their bodies, or when they're maybe adding to their bodies, it's called like a light version of transhumanism, I wonder if that is having a negative effect on the heart's biological field. I also wonder if 5G or enhanced Wi-Fi radiation is having a negative effect on the heart's biological field, electrical field. And if so, is there anything that a person can do, a supplement or a piece of clothing or something else they can have, which would minimize external radiation or external wave of energies from interfering with the heart's bioenergy field?
Yeah, another great question. Thank Boy, you are way ahead of your time, let me tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah, the see, here's the problem. The heart is the most sensitive to electrical energy, so to speak, because it's electrical. The heart's the most electrical organ in the body. I mean, that's why, you know, a lot of these electrical workers get heart disease, for example, because, you know, they're working in these high voltage situations. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand, you know, as a heart specialist for decades. But as you say, the electromagnetic forces, the 5G, for example, cellular phone, cordless phone, cell phone towers, this can affect the heart adversely. I mean, I was going to speak before the Canadian Parliament several years ago, but I was canceled at the last minute because four children, young children in the Canadian district north of Ontario, it was called the Simcoe School District, four children ages 9 to 14 died suddenly in a population of about 50,000, I believe. But the odds of that happening are so extraordinary. And basically, when you use a lot of Wi-Fi that's penetrating, you know, 18-inch cinder block, you know, some humans, especially young children with unknown congenital heart ailments or, you know, bypass tracts or, you know, we call it Wolff-Parkinson-White, and we have, you know, very technical terms. But they're very vulnerable to these 5G. Well, it wasn't 5G then. It was a regular 3G types of energies. So I have to tell you, this electromagnetic world we live in, this electromagnetic soup that we live in, can affect people adversely. I've had children, for example, tell me, or parents of children with braces who went to school and they were developing cardiac arrhythmia and situations like that. So it's just amazing. But, you know, with these new developments of technology, it's created a whole host of problems. And again, a lot of them are cardiac. But what you said about grounding before is absolutely unbelievable. One of the things about 5G is this: we're all going to be faced with 5G, and we have to face all these electromagnetic, you know, frequencies. But the one thing that you can do to protect yourself is that if the body tends to absorb these frequencies, the minute you put your bare feet on Mother Earth, you're going to resonate with the Schumann resonance. We call it the humming of the earth at 7.83 hertz. And when you put bare feet on the ground, you literally tone down the hyperactive sympathetic nervous system, and you get the body back into balance. So, you know, I work barefoot whenever I can.
That's awesome.
When I'm in Florida, for example, Ryan, I'm barefoot on the beach every morning.
I just
do it. Because when I did the research, I said to myself, my gosh, I mean, you know, I moved in Florida, literally to get a little condominium on the beach so I can walk the beach every morning with my fly rod. I think it'll be the best thing for healing the body.
That's awesome. Dr. Sinatra, one of the things you taught me, and I want to share this with our audience, is you said it's always good to be around animals and dogs, pet dogs. They're really good for your heart. And I've got two dogs that I've really been engaging with them, and it's definitely had a positive impact on blood pressure. So I want to thank you for that and relay that as well. But another thing I want to ask is, listening to Tony Robbins, sometimes he says that when you're talking with someone, you want to mimic their breathing style and their frequency, because that's how you'll have a stronger connection with them. That being said, if you were to listen to the heartbeat of a baby or another individual who is considered to be innocent, who's considered to be very healthy, would your heart mimic that same heartbeat if your heart on an instinctual level recognize that individual as the alpha biological creature? And the second part to that question is, if you listen to a particular heartbeat, and you might be one particular size, but the person or animal whose heartbeat you are listening to is at a different size, if your heart were to mimic that same particular beating pattern of that particular animal or human, would that potentially put you in a precarious position, knowing that your heart is set on a way that's geared towards your body, knowing how it needs to beat a certain amount of time in order to fit your body? Could that throw you completely off balance by adapting to another heartbeat, even though it may be at a higher vibration?
Well, what you're saying is, could heartbeats be intertwined, so to speak? And I think they can. Let me say it this way. What do children do all the time, Ryan? They laugh, right? You know, young children can laugh, you know, maybe 50 to 100 or more times a day, you know, if you put a few young children together. Adults don't laugh anymore. And laughing, I mean, when we started the program talking about how laughing helps to release endorphins, which is really calming to the body. And laughing, I believe, will support heart rate variability, which, again, you know, whenever you support heart rate variability, you're literally healing the heart. Now, you know, can hearts be intertwined? In other words, can you, you know, be with another person and all of a sudden have your heart tapping into their, you know, energetic field? Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, I think that's the greatest aspect of being in love with somebody. I think when true romantic love, I think heartbeats resonate with one another. And whenever there's real genuine love between two people, I think that is one of the most protective mechanisms of preventing heart disease, because I think their hearts are literally, no pun intended, but sort of on the same wavelength. And it's absolutely incredible. That's why I've often said, even in my book with Tommy Rosa, you know, Health Revelations from Heaven and Earth, love is the greatest healer of all time. And even when Tommy went to heaven and met Jesus, I mean, that was one of the messages that he got. So I really believe that love is the best healer of them all. And I think the way you phrased it, the tapping into the synchrony of another person's heartbeat or heartbeat variability, you know, might be the biological or the bioelectrical key of the science involved.
Dr. Stephen Sinatra, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Again, Dr. Sinatra is a world-renowned cardiologist. He's been around for a long time, and he's got three different websites. One of them is drsinatra.com. Another one is called vervana.com, and I've had some of the amazing products at Vervana, incredible oils and great food, so please go to Vervana. Also, if you have a beloved puppy or cat and you want to give them some incredible supplements that are going to prolong their life, please check out agelesspaws.com. And also, if you want to do some reading this evening, please go to Amazon and go to check out Dr. Sinatra. He's got some great books. One of them is called The Sinatra Solution, Metabolic Cardiology, Arthritis Interrupted, which actually came out in 2012. But he's got a lot of great books. Dr. Sinatra, great honor to have you with us. Thank you so much for your time, energy, and insight.
Hey, Ryan, I got to tell you, I've been interviewed. I've told you this before, but your questions are the most provocative I've ever had to answer. You're amazing.
Thank you so much.
I'll do an interview with you anytime because you challenge the interview. It's great.
Thank you so much.
Anyway, thanks so much.
Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Again, it was the final interview we did with Dr. Stephen Sinatra. And I have a little favor to ask for those of you who are psychic and for those of you who are sensitive. If you do happen to come across Dr. Sinatra in the astral plane or any visions, please tell him that I love him and that I miss him and that I was so thankful and honored to have known him in this life incarnation. I would tell him that myself,
but we all know that no one in the spirit world listens to me. I'm just very unpopular in the spirit world, so I need to have other people relay messages. So if you can do that, that would be great. To learn more about the Out of Limits of Inner Truth, please go to our website at outoflimitsradio.com. Please feel free to listen to some of the previous interviews we did with Dr. Stephen Sinatra. We likely will do a tribute show to him in the future. But until the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beers. And thank you very much. We'll see you soon.